Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Family, this morning we will be embarking on a new sermon series. And the title of that series, starting this Sunday, right now, will be Psalms, a summer playlist for the soul. When I see play, I want to replace that with pray. Psalms, a summer playlist for the soul. There is a word this morning found in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. As is our custom, I would ask that once you have found it, that you would graciously stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word, if you are able. Certainly with a heavy heart for the lives lost and young people at that, over this weekend, asking God for his spirit to help me on this morning. Psalm 19, I just want to read in your hearing just one verse this morning. That will be verse 14. We will deal with this psalm in its entirety this morning. Psalm 19, verse 14, I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Here's how my Bible reads. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, or my rock and my redeemer. I'd like to speak briefly this morning, family, from this subject. What a powerful word. What a powerful word. What are the Psalms? That is the question that Pastor poses to you this Sunday morning. What are the Psalms? Well, simply put, the Psalms, the book of Psalms, is God's hymnal to the church. And this morning we will discuss Psalm 19. My next question now becomes, what is Psalm 19? Or at least, Dave, what is it all about? So good to see you this morning. Well, Psalm 19, I'll tell you what it's not. Psalm 19, family, is not a lament psalm, in that the psalmist is not expressing his grief, his pain, and his distress unto his God. No, Psalm 19 is not an imprecatory psalm, and that the psalmist does not invoke divine judgment upon his enemies. Neither is Psalm 19 a thanksgiving psalm, a royal psalm, a celebratory psalm, or an ascent psalm. No, that's not how I would describe Psalm 19. Instead, Chris, Psalm 19 is a praise psalm. That's right. Even the subscription, the superscription over this psalm alone would tell us as much. Look at it there. Look at that superscription. It reads, for the choir director, a psalm of David. The implication is that the king, when he got done penning Psalm 19, David said, I've got to get this to the choir director because we must sing praises to God concerning his wonderful word. Amen. Can't you just see it? There is David with his quill and his pen and he's writing. This is the king we're talking about. Oh, we're not going to send this by a servant. Can't you see David jump up and run? And he's not running on the battlefield. He's running to the choir director. I got something for us to sing. Maybe I'm the only one to get excited about that. Concerning Psalm 19, the great C.S. Lewis declared, I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter, one of the greatest lyrics in the world, end quote. Family, I recall counseling a dear brother in Christ who was going through what I would call a difficult time. And after a good while of listening to all that was going awry in his life, and I was careful not to interrupt him as he spoke, but when he finished speaking, I just asked him three questions. Charles, here they are. Number one, I asked him, do you believe that God exists? And then I asked him, do you believe that God has spoken in his word? And finally, I asked him, do you believe that God is faithful to do all that he has said he will do? It's an amazing thing. Three questions that I believe the Spirit of God convicted him to change his perspective on his situation. Well, it was several years later, and truth be told, I had forgotten all about our conversation. But that same brother came back to me, and he thanked me for speaking life into his situation. And specifically, he told me that it was those three questions that made the light bulb turn on, giving him the hope he needed to hang on in there. Do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that God has spoken in his word? And do you believe that God is faithful to do all that he has said? Family, we serve the one true and living God. Indeed, our God has spoken, and our God keeps his word. Before we dive into what God has to say to us this morning through Psalm 19, I would like to share with you the structure of Psalm 19. Were we able to get that chiastic structure? Ah, there it is. Let's see if we can. Yeah, I like that. Let's look at it. There we have in verse 1, we have nature's declaration. And I've explained to you already all the chiastic structure means. It simply means that the text, the writer wrote it, the poem, in such a way that the text will point to the center and then come back out and mirror itself, with the center being the pinnacle of the point that the psalmist or the poet wants to get across. Look at what we have here. First of all, we have nature's declaration in verse number 1. That is going to be A. Look at A prime down there at the bottom. The psalmist's declaration. Well, go back up to B. We have the public word, verses 2 through 6. You look down there at B prime, we have the private word, verses 11 through 13. And right smack dab in the center, we have the pinnacle of this psalm, and it is the praise of the word, verses 7 through 10. Fred, I thought you would appreciate that. I couldn't skip over it. I said, Fred's going to be in there. I got to make sure I point that out. But when we look at this text this morning, Psalm 19, the first thing that we see, family, In verse number one, we see the cosmological word. The cosmological word. That word cosmos just means the heavens. Can y'all say that with me? The heavens. So we have the cosmological word. It's right there in verse one. And what this speaks to the undeniable declaration. This speaks to the undeniable declaration. There it is in verse one of our text. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. Amen. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Family, God speaks in nature. Let me, if you will, point out the synonymous parallelism that is there in verse number one. Take a look at your Bibles, if you will. Do y'all see where it says the heavens? Do y'all see that? If you look at the second line of verse one, it says, and their expanse. Same thing. The synonymous parallelism said the Psalter, the psalmist says the same thing in two different ways. We have the heavens, then we have the expanse. The top of verse 1a, the heavens are telling. 1b says their expanse is declaring. Can y'all see the parallelism? That same thing. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Oh, this psalm is littered with synonymous parallelism. Look there at verse number two. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Day to day, night to night, pours forth speech, reveals knowledge. It's an amazing thing. The cosmological word says that the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hand. You mean to tell me, Gigi, that I should be able to walk out and look up in the sky and recognize that I didn't make all of that? I'm supposed to be able to know that I'm not the one that's keeping the stars from bumping into each other or the earth from spinning off its axis? I thought I was real smart. You know, I like to give myself credit for stuff, Gigi. You know that? You ain't learned that. It's been about a year. You should be learning that by now. Let us consider the word in the rainbow. Let us consider the word in the rainbow. We confer with Genesis chapter number 9, verses 13 through 17. Oh, that's so beautiful. When I see that picture, it's just, boy, our God keeps his promises. Genesis chapter number 9, verses 13 through 17. The Lord declared that he would never destroy all the flesh on earth with water again. And he says, I will set a reminder of my covenant, a rainbow in the sky, to remind you that I keep my promises. And every time I see a rainbow, it's always seven colors representing the perfect word of God. Somebody said, it's seven colors for real? Yeah, go read it if you don't believe it. The word in the rainbow. Cosmological word, the undeniable declaration. Family, I want you to consider something. Where is that picture at? Were y'all able to get that picture of that gentleman? Well, I'll tell you about it, even if they didn't get that picture up. It was my fault because I got it to them late. Have anybody heard of a gentleman by the name of Young Hoon Kim? Has anybody ever heard of a gentleman by the name of Young Hoon Kim? Well, he is a South Korean physicist, if you will. But the interesting thing about Young Hoon Kim is that he has an IQ of 276, making him the owner of the highest IQ ever recorded on Earth. Now, we know he wasn't smart as Solomon, but I'm saying recorded. an IQ of 276. And Young-hoon Kim has recently made headlines due to a declaration he arrived at based on quantum physics. Can I give it to you? Quote, Jesus is God. Now, I didn't say that Young-hoon Kim came to this arrival through reading the scriptures. Young-hoon Kim came to this, he arrived at this conclusion through quantum physics. We serve an amazing God. Not only the cosmological word speaks to the undeniable declaration, but next we have the common word. The common word. It's right there in verses 2 through 6. And the common word speaks to the unexcusable revelation. The unexcusable revelation. That's right, Larry. Not only does God speak in nature, but God speaks in the skies. God speaks in the skies. This type of word is identified among scholars as general revelation. Look at it right there in verses 2 through 6. Listen to the poetry. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Pick up on the parallelism here. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them, he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. He's saying that the sun that we know that lights up our sky is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, always comes out on time. It rejoices as a strong man to run its course. The sun knows that it's on God's timeline, and it better not be late. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them. Rises in the east and sets in the west. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. This type of word is identified among scholars as general revelation. Thank you, Larry, for reading it to me. The Apostle Paul has something to say about this general revelation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. What does that mean? That means that no man, Gigi, that has ever lived in any time, in any place that God defined where it would be, will have an excuse for rejecting the word of God. It's an amazing thing. According to Dr. Michael S. Heiser, quote, Paul's proof text from the Old Testament for suggesting that people everywhere have heard about Jesus is Psalm 19 and 4. General revelation, get this, refers to God's self-disclosure through the natural order accessible to all people across time and place. While it is sufficient to point men to God, general revelation does not provide specific information about salvation, which is found only in special revelation. In John MacArthur's estimation, quote, according to Psalm 19, the role of general revelation is to impact all men with the supreme glory of God, end quote. Let me give you some fun facts there, family. The sun's days are numbered. That is the S-U-N. The sun's days are numbered. Family, did you know that through mathematical calculation, man has determined, get this, that the sun loses 4.28 billion kilograms of its mass every second. That's right. Bill, that's about 9.3 billion pounds of matter lost per second, and it occurs in two ways, through nuclear fusion and through solar wind. Now, that energy loss in the form of light and radiation is what we realize as daylight and what we feel as warmth. This means, family, that according to science, the sun is burning out. The sun is burning out. Now, general revelation can tell us that the sun is burning out, which means that it had a beginning, and one day it will have an end. And although it can't teach us that God has spoken of the sun's beginning in Genesis chapter number 1, 15 through 18, and its end in Revelation chapter number 23, verse 21, verse 23, Scripture has us know that it is sufficient to condemn us for not seeking to know God. Let me break that down for you. No man that's ever been born that stepped out of his house, or his house was outside, and looked up in the sky has an excuse for not seeking God. The general revelation of the world and creation around us is not sufficient to lead us to the fact that Jesus saves. But it's all sufficient to condemn us for not seeking him as Savior. It's an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing. The truth of the matter is this. The sun, Clovis, will remain on day shift, and the moon will remain on night shift until God says different. So don't just accept the world's illogical explanation that intelligent design that we see in the universe came from nothing by coincidence. Instead, seek and believe the truth of God's word, that the universe came from the mind of its designer, none other than God Almighty, and by his providence. By his providence. Not only the cosmological word, the undeniable declaration through nature, not only the common word, the inexcusable revelation through the skies, but next we have the commendation of the word. That's a fancy word, way of saying the praise of the word. The commendation of the word. It's right there in verses 7 through 10. And what this speaks to the unspeakable revelation. The unspeakable revelation of the word of God. Look there at your Bibles. Psalm 19. Look at verse 7. This is an interesting thing. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. It's an amazing thing. Let me have some more heat in these mantras, please. Look there, if you will, at verses 7 through 9 specifically. I want to show you something amazing. Verse 7 through 9 specifically all represent synonymous parallelism. And the psalmist, David, does something really clever here. He gives us, in six lines, he gives us six names of the word of God. He gives us six attributes of the word of God. And he gives us six effects of the word of God. Count them with me, if you will, beginning with the names. Do you see them? Gigi, there it is in verse 7, the law of the Lord. Count them with me, that's one. Count them with me, that's one. I tell you what, now we learned this in what, kindergarten? Let's try this again. Count them with me, if you will. First of all, we have the law of the Lord.
One.
The testimony of the Lord.
Two.
The precepts of the Lord.
Three.
The commandments of the Lord.
Four.
The fear of the Lord.
Five.
The judgments of the Lord.
Six.
Six names for the word of God. Oh, but we don't stop there. Now he gives us six attributes of the word of God. Here we go. Count them with me, if you will. It's perfect. Is sure.
Two.
Are right.
Three.
Is pure.
Four.
Is clean.
Five.
And the judgments of the Lord are true.
Six.
Oh, I'm getting excited. Not only the names and attributes, but he gives us finally six effects of the word. Count them with me, if you will. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul.
One.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
Three.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
Four.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
Five.
The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Can I explain to you guys why we shouldn't get all bent out of shape? Behind the pursuit of the world? Can I explain to you guys why we should not get all bent out of shape? Behind the pursuit of the world. Without Jesus Christ, it don't get no sweeter than the honeycomb. So no wonder people want to do everything they can to get this honeycomb. That's all they got. Let me break it down in language that y'all can understand. When you don't have Jesus, all you can do is chase money. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach today. What can you do but chase women or chase men when you don't have Jesus? What can you do but try to patch your nest and your 401k when you don't have Jesus? That's as good as it gets, Gary. The commendation of the word, the unspeakable revelation. But then we have the uncommon word. The uncommon word. It's right there in verses 11 through 13. And what this speaks of the unashamable revelation. The unashamable revelation. It's right there in verses 11 through 13. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. In keeping what? I just read it to you. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgment, and keeping God's statutes. By them, the law of God, the word of God, your servant is warned. In keeping God's word, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. David is saying, guess what? What man can look at God and say, hey, God, you got all this right, but this one part right here you calling sin, I think you messed up right here. I was born this way. You may have made a mistake here, God. David is pointing to the lunacy. The lunacy of a man looking at God and questioning whether he's right or wrong. It ain't up for debate. Who can acquit me of my hidden faults? David said, here's the reality. I'm going to go on to write many of these psalms, but I recognize that I'm wicked. I got stuff that's so bad, it's hidden in me. I don't even know about it. Who but God can forgive me? That's why we don't need to let folk put their mouth on us and walk away thinking that those words that somebody knows, you ain't who folks say you are. You who God has made you. That makes my blood boil to see people going to Christians and calling us out our name. I don't mind it, but I see when it affects people. It's not the word of man that determines your destiny. Amen. It's the word of God and the word of God alone. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of my hidden faults. Also, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Only the word of God. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgressions. It's an amazing thing. God speaks in nature. God speaks in the skies. But then God speaks in the scriptures. Family, the unique word of God, verses 11 through 13, exceeds the revelation observable to all men in verses 2 through 6 by making known the character of the Creator God. Verses 1 through 6 just says, I'm going to point to the Creator God. Verses 11 through 13 lets us know the character of the Creator God. This type of word is known among scholars as special revelation. John chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3. I'll give you special revelation at its finest. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Do y'all see that personification there? He, the pronoun there, referring to the Word. The Word is a person. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, the Word. And apart from him, apart from the word, nothing came into being that has come into being. Special revelation goes beyond general revelation, which is given to all men, by targeting particular people that God has chosen to make his mind, his will, and his character known to primarily through the scriptures and through Jesus the Christ. Special revelation is given supernaturally to those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. Let me give you an example. In another psalm, David confesses that the Creator God is also his ultimate helper. It's right there in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Listen to it. I will lift up mine eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? All of my help comes from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. Do y'all see that? David says, yes, there's. Can y'all see David walk out of his palace in the city of David? He walks out on the precipice of his palace and overlooks all that God has given into his hands. It does not make him say, boy, I'm a bad king. Instead, David looks up to the heavens, to the mountains and says, where does my help come from? All of my help comes from my helper. Amen. It comes from my ultimate help. It comes from the Creator God. It's an amazing thing. Another example, Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul declares, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul emphasizes that the word of the cross is not a source of shame, regardless of what the world says, but rather God's powerful means for his people's transformation and salvation. I like the way James Montgomery Boyce puts it. He says, quote, this is the meaning of glory in Psalm 19. It is a revelation of God's existence and power so great that it should lead every human being on the face of the earth to seek God out, to thank him at bringing him or her into existence and to worship him, end quote. It's an amazing thing. Not only do we have the cosmological word, the undeniable declaration of the word of God. God speaks in nature. Not only do we have the common word, the unexcusable revelation that God speaks in the skies. Not only do we have the commendation of the word, the unspeakable revelation of the goodness of the word of God. Not only do we have the uncommon word, the unshameable revelation that God speaks in the scriptures and in Christ Jesus. Fifthly and finally, we have the Christian's word. This is the part I've been waiting to get to. We have the Christian's word. It's right there in verse 14. And what this speaks to, family, this speaks to our unshakable declaration. Our unshakable declaration. Look there at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God speaks through the soul. God speaks through the soul. Beloved, our God has spoken, and his final word is in his Son, Jesus Christ. I love the way the writer of Hebrews puts it. He puts it real nice in Hebrews 1 and 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The word of God, family, is wisdom. I like the way the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 1, verse 18 through 21. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The word of the cross, family, is the gospel. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You heard what Paul said in 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God for salvation. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It's an amazing thing. What kind of person rejects the wisdom of God? Let me ask this side of the room. What kind of person rejects the wisdom of God? Oh, I got a reading church, Fred. I love it. Psalm 53, verse 1a. Listen what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Family, I shared with you the chiastic structure of this psalm earlier so that we would know that verse 14 mirrors verse number 1. Then what is David saying, Bill and Nora? I'll give it to you. David is saying it's not enough for creation alone to praise God because creation can't tell that the word of God is mighty to save. Creation didn't sin against God. David says, I did that. Pastor says, I did that. I sinned against God. Creation can't preach the love of God. Creation can't preach his magnificence and his grace and his mercies and his patience, his loving kindness, his suffering, his forgiveness and salvation of our great God in Jesus Christ. Beloved, David is saying that we have this treasure in earthen vessels and we must tell the whole world of the powerful word of God. Amen. North Oaks, our words reveal our character. Our words reveal our, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And here it is. When my time comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ calls me home, may it be said of Pastor Orr, he was a lover of the Word of God. May it be said that he was a lover of the Word of God. Here it is, and I'm in my seat. The S-U-N loses power every second, and it's slowly burning out. The S-U-N had a beginning, and one day it's going to have an end. But praise be to God that the S-O-N, the Word of God, never loses its power. Amen. The Word of God, the S-O-N, never loses its power. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I like the way he put it there in Revelation 21, 23. And the city had no need of the S-U-N or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it. There's Pastor Orr's translation of the glory in Psalm 19. For the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb, none other than the Word of God. Isaiah 44, 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation. And let them declare them the things that are coming. God says, let him tell the future if he's God. And the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? He says, I've given you more than general revelation. I've given you special revelation. I've given you my word. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? Is there any other person who can save a man from his sins? I know of none. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, even in a sober and somber moment, you have declared to us the beginning from the end. You've spoken to us in so many ways. And so oftentimes we want to shake our fists and say, God, are you speaking? And we don't realize that you're looking down at us and saying, are you listening? Help us to turn to your word. Help us to turn to your word first and tune out all the noise of this world. There is nothing more magnificent than the Word of God. There is nothing more valuable than the Word of God. You can go out here and dig upside this mountain and come out with all the gold you want. It won't save you. You can work all the overtime that you want, talking about you ain't going to get taxed on overtime. It won't save you. But salvation is in no one save Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Get us excited, God, about your word and this study through the Psalms this summer. Help us to come hungry with our bib on and a knife and fork in our hand that we can eat to our full. Don't let us come in here on Sunday morning filled full of junk. Let us come hungry, Lord. We love you and thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Amen. We see that there are none. I tell y'all what. I know y'all are not standing on this side of this pulpit, but I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to preach in the wake of tragedy. But when I turn to this word here, the hope that I get here, I can't get anywhere else. Because even in the midst of everything, God is still good. God is still good. Let us bow for prayer. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let the whole church say, Amen. Amen.